MoneyWeb now on the money.
The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Chatting with Peter van der Ross, Portfolio Manager, Stanlib Multi-Strategy. Peter, appreciate your time today. Talking emerging markets, before we sort of delve into some of the mechanics around it, you've done some research on emerging markets versus developed markets and performance and drivers of that performance. What can you share with us about that?
Yes, Simon, thank you. I guess the first complication is that emerging markets are a catch-all. It's not one thing, but in the interest of brevity, let's try and summarize. So the emerging markets as an asset class started to gain favor in the late 1980s. So in 1998, the MSCI introduced their emerging market index. Mm-hmm. And if one looks at since then, if one compares the performance of the main MSCI indices, emerging to developed markets, it looks like a big up-down pattern. So you've had two cycles, really, where emerging markets outperformed from the late 80s to about the mid-90s. And that was driven by, I suppose, this new promise of the structural growth outperformance.
Yeah.
A lot of capital flooded into emerging markets, and things started unraveling around about the mid-90s. We had a series of emerging market currency crises, eventually culminating in the Asian crisis, 97, 98. Then, of course, in the late 90s, we had the IT bubble in the U.S. And so that was the first big swing in the late 90s where developed markets started outperforming emerging markets, but it was mostly driven by the IT bubble. Then things changed again in the early 2000s, and then we had the China effect really kicking in. So from 2000, 2001 until 2010, I think we all know what happened in China and
yeah.
the massive infrastructure boom. And that really created a rising tide that lifted most emerging markets, because most emerging markets are involved in the commodity complex, somehow mostly commodity exporting nations. And then since then, again, you've had the rise of, I suppose, the Internet of Things, social media. So for the last 10 years, DM equity markets have outperformed EM, but again, mostly driven by the structural outperformance from US tech. So the NASDAQ, for example, over the last 10 years, has done something like 20% per annum. And so you've had this big sort of up-down pattern into point-to-point. EMs have not really outperformed DMs. They certainly don't look like the structural outperformer they looked likely to be, 30 years ago.
Mm.
They're also not a high beta or sort of geared play on some kind of global equity cycle, because they've been actually the relative has been driven by thematics. It's either
gotcha.
IT or infrastructure spend rather than GDP growth dynamics.
Yeah, so there has been, yeah, I take your point there. It's not the GDP. It's kind of what's the underlying story, which if we then bring it to the now, I mean, we've had a booming commodity cycle. Certainly it's helped SA, although that's cooling a bit in the PGM space. Of course, we've got the pandemic ongoing at the moment. I mean, looking into next year, and I appreciate a year's a short time in the investment world, where would you be expecting emerging markets to perform?
So we still struggle to see why they would outperform next year. So remember, you know, China is, it's the second biggest economy in the world.
Mm.
It dominates the EM landscape. And so they have some specific problems there on their property sector. There's significant stress, we think, still to come in that sector. So a lot of bond maturities due in Q1 of next year. And then there's some Chinese politics at play next year as well. So Xi Jinping looking to secure an unprecedented third term.
Yeah.
So their key policy conference will be next October. He won't be wanting to rock the boat before then. And so for whatever reason, well, in fact, yeah, on a multitude of reasons, you know, their labor force is now shrinking. So the whole policy mix and sort of policy objective is changing rapidly in China. They're sitting on their hands, not really stimulating as they probably would have if this property sector was struggling as 10 years ago as it is now. But they're not stimulating. In the meantime, the Fed, US Fed, one would think is going to start responding to inflation. The dollar is looking strong again. That's typically not good for emerging markets. And so there are all sorts of reasons why we can't see emerging markets starting to outperform next year. The list goes on and on, but we would caveat that by saying at any point in time, there's a long list of reasons why markets shouldn't go up. And one does need to be alive. You've got to be alive to the price action, what the market's telling you. Right now, price action is not telling you that, I guess the difficult times for EMs are over.
Is there, I mean, we've been talking EMs sort of broadly as a concept, and you were touching a whole bunch there on China. Of course, South Africa is an emerging market. Is there an argument to be for certain perhaps regions or even countries within the EM space?
Well, I guess we'd go back to our initial caution in looking for structurally outperforming regions, because they typically, you know, for all the logic in the world, they're sufficient, often disappoint. So, I mean, the one interesting place is possibly India, but even that country has really struggled against the S&P in the last decade.
Yeah.
And many EMs are typically whipsawed by global dynamics first and foremost. And then secondly, there's risk of the odd own goal, right? So Turkey with their monetary policy.
Yeah.
Argentina with the I guess, chronic series of debt defaults. So we don't tend to look for geographies that look like structural outperformers. Our inclination is more to try and package global ideas or themes like energy shortage or like ESG into baskets that cut across markets, and those could be developed or emerging markets. In other words, we'd rather try and divide up the world along thematic rather than geographic lines, because at least we can understand the thematic drivers better. And then one's not beholden to politics or whatever in a particular region.
Yep, and I take your point. And you say, as you say, I mean, they kind of get whipsawed by those global themes anyway. So find those thematic themes. We'll leave that there. That's Peter van der Ross, Portfolio Manager, Stanlib Multi-Strategy. Peter, appreciate the time. Chatting today to Peter there, he made some really great points, which I hadn't really realized the data. Question on our LinkedIn and Twitter polls today. Are you allocating part of your portfolio to emerging markets? I mean, obviously, we have in our Reg 28, because we are South Africa, we are an emerging market. But do you, with the rest, sort of go into EMs or perhaps your developed markets only? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.